Your daily podcast on the Phoenix Suns, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Everybody, welcome to the Locked On Podcast Network. And this is Locked On Suns, and as always, this is your host, Evan Sidery, joined by co-host Brendan Hain. We're reacting to last night's loss to the Los Angeles Lakers and action last night's game, because Devin Booker, TJ Warren, and Dragan Bender with the Suns as far as offense goes. But what were takeaways from that game?
Yeah, my main takeaway is, I think at this point we're kind of past the point of reacting to Devin Booker's scoring. It's incredible. It's been incredible. I said on Twitter that this is probably his best overall week as an NBA player. I'd be interested to hear what you have to say as far as that goes. But the secondary was probably, as you said, Dragan Bender. And he said after the game, I was there covering for Bright Side of the Sun, he said that it's not confidence. And Devin Booker actually echoed that when asked about Dragan's performance. He said, it's not actually about confidence for me. I have the confidence. It's more of, playing out the game plan, getting time on the floor, and kind of seeing what I can do. So he obviously performed really well last night, but, I'm interested to hear, you've been around him obviously just as much as I have. What does that sound like to you? Do you think he's just in the zone and feeling good and kind of ignoring the problems he had earlier in the season, or do you really believe him that it has nothing to do with confidence and it's just a game-by-game situation?
No, I totally think it's confidence with Bender, because we saw, I think it was rather inconsistent in the first game of summer league, but after he got comfortable with Yuna and then he was starting with Mike, James, Marquise, Chris, he was, I think, and Josh Jackson, I think he was one of the best guys overall in summer league as far as all-around performance goes in summer league. More minutes out there, offense was starting to go, his turnaround was starting to go just now in regular season game, which is very exciting to see. I think he's still 20 years old for maybe a couple more days, a couple more weeks. Exciting to see that, and that one really beautiful post move on the corner that spin around over Corey Brewer, like to see out of Bender at this stage in his development. And I think actually once he gets more playing time, more comfortability, I think it's going to blossom even more.
Yeah, maybe that's a better word. I guess we should maybe say not so much confidence, but maybe comfort, because he definitely seems like he builds his own comfort level up there. And yeah, it was that baseline spin over Corey Brewer over his right shoulder. I really don't think I've ever seen him do that in the NBA. And then there was the catch on the left wing, and he drove all the way in and finished over, I think it was Andrew Bogut, kind of in the middle of the second half there and laid it up pretty easily because he used the length he has to kind of just slide right past those guys. Finished 6 of 8 from the field. The bench was really the story of the game as far as the Lakers go. They really used their bench, Jordan Clarkson especially, to push this lead and finish the game. But though Bender was the only player who wasn't a double-digit minus and as far as plus-minus, so... Yeah, it's showing up statistically, and it's obviously showing up in what we're watching.
And before we move on to Devin Booker and TJ Warren, I wanted to ask you, because we're starting to see what Marquise Chris over his last two or three games, he's starting to learn more. He's not fouling as much. He's had 3 blocks, I think, in the first 8 or 7 minutes in the Lakers game. Takeaway of seeing possibly Bunder out there to get there a lot more often, because I feel like Trina could actually do this soon.
Put who out there more often?
Dragan Bender and Marquise Chris.
Yeah, I think we've all been sort of interested to kind of see what ends up happening with... Yeah, I've been interested to see how much he goes to it, and he's been hesitant to do it. I asked him about it actually after the game when Chris has his confidence up and isn't fouling and is able to stay in the game, and then when Bender's obviously making shots and impacting the game like he does, what exactly how he starts to look at it at that point, because I think it is really easy a lot of the time for Triano to make those decisions when one guy's in foul trouble or one guy's, even injured or something. But he said it's really defense. So, yeah, those blocks are going to be the main way that Chris impacts the game. And do you think it's been like an actual adjustment on his part? Do you think that you've really seen him playing a different style, or do you see him executing a different game plan that the coaches are working him through? Or do you think it's as simple as he's just been, you know, his timing's better, he's learning the game, and he's making plays?
I definitely think it's more of the timing part, because I'm still, to this day, I think now it's his sixth year total playing basketball. I think he started in middle school, and he was a football player right up to middle school, so he's still learning the ins and outs of the game. He's still learning how to use his body, because most of the time, trying after contact, so I think that's what's holding up. So I think Chris is one of the more athletic guys as far as rim protectors go. I really think if Chris is able to learn verticality and long range, he's switching down on the outside. That's a really good tandem to have long term defensively alongside Josh Jackson on the wing. They're already one of the most elite guys offensively in terms of overall numbers going so far this season.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right. I think, and Chris said after the game that he's been the one thing he has, you know, heard from the coaching staff consistently is that those weak side blocks are going to be the best way for him to impact the game, and I think we're kind of seeing him become more comfortable in that role.
Yeah, I think that's what Triana's having to focus on more. It's his just 3-and-D. He's becoming a lot more comfortable as far as transition threes goes, his perimeter ability and his shot blocking ability. I think that's what he needs to focus in on. I think that's what Trey's really committed on right now, too. So it's definitely a really good positive to see 2016 finally producing at this type of level, at least showing these flashes.
Yeah, it's funny because he was only 2 of 7 from the field. He was actually the only starter on the Suns to have a negative plus minus. But when he's playing aggressively and he's not letting his emotions get to him, and he can keep the fouls in check, he only had 3 fouls last night, or he only had 1 foul last night in 27 minutes played. And you know, that might even be the most telling statistic of all. So that's definitely something to watch going forward. And, you know, the Suns lost, obviously, against the Lakers. We should obviously make that clear. We're being optimistic because it was a well-played game. But they lost to a team that, you know, they definitely have the ability to beat, coming off of a Wolves game that was pretty inspiring for the young team, and obviously it made them feel really good. But you know, they weren't too down on themselves after last night's game. I think they know when they play hard, and yesterday they definitely did. So I don't think you can be too disappointed coming away.
Well, yeah, I think coming off likely the best home win, if not the overall best win, this thing against Minnesota, with everyone's all around effort, with TJ Warren and Devin Booker putting in 7 total points. I think this is thing as a loss, just because they had the effort. Again, these are the types of the loss that you want to see.
I agree, for sure. It makes me a little bit more excited even to see sort of what happens going into the Rockets game.
Oh, totally, yeah. Agree. I'm going to pull up some stats real quick. I brought up with Booker. Did you see that, by the way? Like, it's only him, Bird, and Kevin Durant that are the only 3 guys right now in the NBA that are playing up 45, 35, 85 shooting splits.
Yeah, I don't even know. I mean, I noticed yesterday that he was over 50% from the field, which is pretty incredible. He was hitting in the fourth quarter some incredibly difficult, especially from three, shots over guys, shots at the end of the clock, shots completely contested, and he was making a ton of them. And so, I mean, he made 2 or 3. That's a ton considering the difficulty level. And so to see him taking on that heavier scoring load and still maintaining the efficiency, it's really, really, really incredible. Do you agree with what I said earlier, that it's his best performance as a pro the past week or so?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I think right now, on the 10-game streak he's on, outside of those 2 points, yeah, I think he had 9 points, like, only in verbal space, only here, the other team was, but he's been one of the most efficient guys in the NBA as far as scoring goes. And it's really incredible to see, like you said, because when he just turned 21, his creativity he has in his offense is insane to see at this point in development in his career. And I think it's a really good idea to build this franchise around Devin Booker, and I think probably one of the most elite offensive guys in the NBA in the next couple of years.
I agree. I mean, Triano's been really big talking about his playmaking. The assists were a little down today, but it's hard to blame him for that sort of situation when Josh Jackson's, I think, 0 for 6 from the field and Tyler Ulis is 1 for 7. You can't blame it on Booker when guys aren't finishing plays. So, you know, he's going to have nights where the scoring comes a little bit bigger than the assist numbers do. And when you're making 14 of 27 shots and kind of carrying your team back from the end of the game when they started to get out of hand a little bit, then, you know, it's really been incredible to watch. But obviously the other guy for the Suns has been TJ Warren, and I've liked how they've kind of played off of each other. They're getting better at kind of picking their spots and almost knowing whose turn it is in different points of the game, even when they're both on the court together. Have you seen that as well?
I definitely, over the last 5 or so games, I think they were starting to adjust to it a little bit at the beginning of the season, but they played a little bit with each other. TJ's gotten hurt the last 2 seasons, so we're finally healthy, and Booker together, they're starting to mesh a little bit to the point, I believe, a couple days ago, but I don't know if it rings true now. It probably does with how they've played the last 2 games, but for Warren combo, it's only them, Green, Durant, James Harden, Eric Gordon, other than I think one other duo, 6 people that have the best overall efficiency between 2 guys on our roster, 50% above 25. Cool to see them develop at this rate and being 1-2 dynamic scorers. I think they're honestly kind of surprised by TJ Warren at this point, because high production on TJ, at least not this big of a spike. And really, he's become a focal point of this offense and the overall success of this team, because he only averaged about 15 points or 13 points a game, 25. So if TJ doesn't have it going early on, the Suns are usually in trouble on most nights. So cool to see how TJ has developed his game and he's become a really good number 2 option in depth.
Yeah, he was finishing off a lot of plays on the offensive glass. I think he had a putback or two and drew a couple of fouls, mixing it up down low like that. And that's an aspect of his game that I don't see too often, so to see it kind of come out yesterday against a bigger Lakers team than what the Suns have been playing the past few nights. I mean, I guess the Wolves are a big team too, but I'm thinking the Magic and the Heat are more long and athletic types of teams, and so TJ maybe wasn't able to showcase that, but you know, he really is one of the bigger, more physical players, and he can take advantage of that, especially against, you know, younger teams like the Lakers too, because he's matched up against Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma a lot of the night, and those two guys are, you know, they're talented players, but they're not the kind of guys who are going to keep Warren off the glass by any means or really be able to body up against him on defense. And so that was impressive to me. That was one of the ways that he found points that impressed me the most. I mean, obviously he had his typical mid-range game working, and he's effective in transition, but yeah, it's just been nice to see both of them kind of come into their own and develop new aspects to their game that I hadn't seen, and it kind of come out of nowhere over the past like week or two. Even, you know, after Triano took over, it didn't happen right away, but it's definitely showed up in a big way recently.
Oh, definitely. I think it's definitely something to see these guys. I believe TJ's 24, Devin's 21. So to have these two guys starting to become this efficient group together, like when one's off the floor, they're still being efficient together. So solid number one option for it all times. It will be a really good development process going forward for the Suns. Now they just need to find the foot around these guys, because they're all around the same age group, around 19 to 22, 23. And jealous we're all start together with Nate, and then hopefully filling those pieces along the way, but as far as progression goes, what we're seeing out of TJ and Devin, because you know, it's pretty crazy. So like you said, last week we haven't seen this, so it's really.
But yeah, I'd probably say our final takeaway from the Suns Lakers game, even though it wasn't a loss, it's overall the development we're seeing out of TJ, Devin, and Dragan. Those three guys, even though outside of those three, there's 8 total duos from the entire Suns roster, so bringing options, the third option that's going to come along the way, three. It could be Josh Jackson on the road, but until someone steps up to be a third option, it's going to be a lot of these type of nights for the Suns. I believe it's going to be for about 50-plus points, and then hopefully away to get some points and a win. But I think, mentioning in the past couple minutes to you, Brendan, is it's really exciting to see these types of numbers out of Devin Booker. That's the one big takeaway from me. Become this elite player on offense at such a young age. And he's playing up in splits already for someone only 21 years old. But I'd probably say his defense, too, has been something to keep an eye on because he's been playing a lot more effort on defense.
Yeah, I would say my biggest takeaway is along the same lines, but the thing I've been watching, and it just keeps getting more interesting, honestly, as they both develop, is like you were actually mentioning earlier, that Marquese Chris Dragan-Bender combination on the front line, how much they play together, you know, what kind of lineups Triano puts them in. Alex Len has most often been playing next to Bender while Chris is with Chandler in the starting lineup, and Triano mostly keeps it stationary that way, but I'd love to see them play more together, or even just to have, you know, just one of them on the court with a smaller lineup around them, just to continue to challenge them as they show that they can handle more responsibility. But it's definitely trending in a much better direction over the past week or two than it has at any point before in either of their careers. And I think a lot of that does have to do with Booker and Warren stepping up as scorers, because it makes everybody else's job easier. But that's what I'm looking for, and then that's what I was most excited by the possibilities for after this Lakers game.
Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. I'll be back with you guys Rockets game to recap, and we might on Wednesday with Kellen Olsen. We'll see how the schedule goes, but in the meantime, guys, it's been a lot of progress seeing how the Suns so far, even in losses. These are types of losses that we want to see for this developmental team. For the Suns, these are by far the best team in the NBA. So we'll see you guys again on Wednesday or Thursday.